Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into a topic that is just absolutely critical, but almost invisible. We're talking about CDL temp agencies.
The backbone of the supply chain, really.
Exactly. And if you're listening, you probably want to get a quick but really thorough understanding of the engines that keep everything moving. You know, how your packages arrive on time, how stores get restocked. This is that engine.
It is. We've pulled together a ton of material industry reports, some carrier white papers, deep logistics analyses to really get at the mechanics of it.
So what's the one sentence version? What do these agencies do?
At their core, they provide operational elasticity. That's the key word. They match fully credentialed commercial drivers. We're talking Class A or Class B licenses with companies that need drivers right now.
For what, like a sudden surge in business?
A surge or covering for someone on leave or even for, you know, a special project. It sounds simple, but managing all those credentials and regulations in real time, it's anything but.
And in a world where every delivery timeline is incredibly tight, having that reliable source of labor is, I mean, it's the difference between making a profit and a complete operational failure.
Catastrophic failure, yeah.
So our mission today is to unpack how this model works. It's not just about patching holes. It's a fundamental strategy for stabilizing operations and cutting down on risk in this incredibly volatile freight world. Okay, let's unpack this. So let's jump right in. Why do companies even need this? I mean, the ideal is just having your own permanent full-time workforce, right? Why would a carrier, big or small, go outside for staffing?
Because the industry is defined by inconsistency, not stability. It's just not a stable 9-to-5 world.
Right.
Carriers are constantly dealing with these dramatic seasonal peaks, you know, like the holiday rush sudden market shifts. And then there's the whole complex regulatory side of things.
So a fixed full-time roster is actually inefficient.
Incredibly inefficient. Imagine hiring a bunch of permanent drivers for a peak that only lasts, what, 6 or 8 weeks? Temp staffing fills that exact gap. It lets companies keep their service levels high during a surge without taking on the massive financial burden of permanent staff they just don't need year-round.
Okay, that makes total sense for the planned stuff, the seasonal surges.
Yeah.
But what about the unplanned chaos?
Okay.
Give us a few scenarios where a company has to make that call. Not just for convenience, but for, like, survival.
It's a real mix of proactive and reactive. On the proactive side, you've got them covering scheduled vacations, medical leave, things you can plan for.
Sure.
But the critical reactive needs, that's where the market chaos comes in. Imagine a huge backlog at a port after a strike or a storm, or a natural disaster shuts down a major highway. You need drivers, and you need them yesterday to clear that freight.
And you can't just hire someone off the street for that.
No way. And then there's the strategic stuff. We see a lot of companies using temp drivers to test out a new route. They don't want to commit to permanent staff and new trucks until they know if the route is actually profitable.
So whether it's a planned vacation or a sudden part backup, the temp driver basically stops them from pushing their current staff in a dangerous overtime.
Exactly. It protects them from safety violations, which are incredibly costly, and it stops them from making a rushed bad hire just to fill a seat. They are essentially the shock absorbers for the entire system. They make sure demand never outstrips the available qualified manpower.
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting, I think, because not all drivers are the same. You mentioned the license.
Mm.
The type of CDL is everything.
It dictates everything. The type of job they can do, the kind of freight they can haul, the liability the agency is taking on. The matching process has to be perfect.
So let's contrast the two big ones, Class A versus Class B. What's the reality of that on the ground?
Class A is, I mean, it is far and away the most requested credential. It's all about versatility. These are the drivers who can operate combination vehicles.
So a truck pulling a trailer.
A truck pulling one or more trailers, yeah. Exceeding those standard weight limits. This is the absolute backbone of freight. We're talking long haul tractor trailers, dry vans, the refrigerated reefer trucks, flatbeds. They move the vast majority of everything across state lines.
Okay, so that's the interstate workhorse. What about Class B?
Class B drivers are more for heavy single vehicles. So think straight trucks, big box trucks for local delivery, or even specialized stuff like cement mixers and dump trucks.
So more regional, more local.
Exactly. Their main value is in those regional or local delivery routes. Often in dense urban areas where trying to navigate a full tractor trailer would be a nightmare or just a total liability.
Right. Maneuverability is key.
Yeah.
But for the really complex jobs, it's not just the class of license. It's the endorsements.
The endorsements are everything. They are the specializations that unlock the most complex and often highest paying freight.
So what are the big ones agencies look for?
Well, our sources point to a few critical ones. You've got the H endorsement. That's for hazardous materials. Absolutely crucial. Then there's N for tank vehicles, liquids, gases. T is for driving double or even triple trailers.
Then the X.
Ah, the X endorsement. That's the highly specialized one. It's a combination of tanker and hazmat.
Wait, hold on. So if a carrier needs to move, say, a hazardous liquid in a tanker that's part of a double trailer setup, that one driver needs a Class A, plus a T endorsement and an X endorsement.
That's exactly right.
That sounds like finding a needle in a haystack. I mean, that has to make those drivers incredibly rare and way more expensive.
Absolutely. The pool of drivers with multiple active endorsements is much, much smaller. The liability is higher, so the rates the agencies charge reflect that. But look at it this way. Without that specific driver, that cargo just doesn't move, period. The agency's job is to find that needle for you.
That's a perfect transition into compliance. Because finding the driver is one thing, but the hidden value here is that whole vetting process. The agency is shielding the employer from just enormous risk.
Yeah.
What are they actually checking before they send a driver out?
Oh, it is exhaustive. It goes so far beyond just looking at the license. I mean, of course, they verify the CDL and the endorsements, but it really starts with a deep dive into the MVR.
Motor vehicle record.
Right. And they're not just looking for a speeding ticket. They're scanning for serious violations, a pattern of preventable accidents, anything that signals a disregard for safety.
Anything else?
They mandate DOT-compliant drug and alcohol screening, obviously, and a really rigorous DOT physical. And this is not a trivial checkup. It specifically looks at things like vision, hearing, cardiovascular health, things you need to safely operate an 80,000-pound vehicle for 11 hours straight.
So what here? I mean, what happens if a carrier tries to do this all in-house and they mess up? They fail to maintain a compliant, what's called a driver qualification file.
The financial risk is immense. That's why they outsource it. If a carrier gets audited by the Department of Transportation, the DOT and their files aren't perfect. They face fines, and it's per violation, per day.
Ouch.
It can run into the tens of thousands of dollars so fast it'll make your head spin, and it can even lead to an out-of-service order where their entire fleet is grounded. The agencies handle all that critical ongoing record keeping. They track medical certs, they do MVR rechecks, and they document hours of service.
Let's just clarify HOS for the listener. That's the rule limiting driving time, right? Usually 11 hours of driving in a 14-hour window.
That's the one. And when a permanent driver hits their HOS limit, they legally must stop. If a carrier is in a surge and only has permanent staff, they're stuck. A temp driver is the solution. A fresh, fully compliant relief driver who can take over the load and keep it moving legally. It's a huge safety feature.
The real value is that the company can just focus on their main job moving freight and not have to become experts in high stakes compliance and paperwork.
You've got it. They're outsourcing the risks and the administrative headache.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit. Geographically, where is the demand for these drivers the strongest? You said it tracks with freight density. So where are the hot spots in the U.S.?
It's basically a map of the modern American economy. Texas is huge. You've got Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, Austin. All massive industrial and consumer goods hubs.
And California, I assume.
Oh, yeah. California's right there, especially the L.A. and Inland Empire corridor and the Bay Area. It's all driven by the massive volume coming through the ports.
What about other key regions?
You have to look at the big logistical hubs. So Atlanta is the powerhouse for the entire Southeast. And Chicago is that central nexus for the whole country where rail and trucking meet. The demand there is just constant.
You mentioned Florida earlier. Is that more of a seasonal thing?
Florida is a perfect case study for why you need this flexibility. It's not just retail. It's the intensity of the perishable goods season. When the citrus harvest peaks or when tourism season hits, the need for refrigerated trucks and drivers just explodes for, you know, maybe 8-10 weeks. That demand is tailor-made for a temporary staffing model.
Okay, let's shift to the money. How does this actually help with cost control? It feels a little counterintuitive, right? Paying a premium for a temp driver seems more expensive.
It saves money by helping you avoid even bigger, unavoidable costs, You're not paying for long-term salaries, benefits, payroll taxes, all that overhead for a permanent hire you only need for a short time. You scale your labor costs precisely to your revenue.
And I guess you're avoiding that expensive overtime, too.
That's a huge piece of it. We talked about how that prevents safety violations, but it also prevents service failures. A delayed load or a missed delivery window can come with massive financial penalties from the customer, not to mention the damage to your reputation.
So basically, every major sector with fluctuating demand relies on this. Retail, manufacturing, construction, agriculture. All of them.
All of them. Anyone whose business isn't perfectly predictable, which is pretty much everyone in logistics. You know, we should talk about how technology has just completely changed the game here. What used to be a frantic mess of phone calls and paper files is now a really fast, data-driven matching process.
How fast are we talking? I mean, how does a request go from a phone call to a qualified driver showing up in just a few hours?
It's all about the digital platforms. Mm-hmm. Agencies now use these incredible credential management systems with automated alerts. So if a driver's medical card is about to expire, the system flags it automatically. No one has to remember.
And I imagine they have real-time availability tracking.
Oh, yeah. Drivers can update their status right from their phone. But the most important piece is the matching algorithm.
So how does that algorithm work? Is it just, you know, matching a Class A license to a Class A job?
It's so much more granular than that. These systems, some of them using AI, they're cross-referencing actual experience. It's not just matching a Class A license. It's matching a Class A driver who has an active H endorsement, who has logged 500 hours of recent hazmat time, to a route that requires that exact background.
So you're getting someone who's not just licensed, but proven.
Exactly. It ensures high performance, and it drastically cuts down on the risk of a bad placement. And that reliability translates directly into customer satisfaction. It protects delivery timelines, and it gives companies the confidence to take on new business, knowing they can staff up quickly.
And we have to mention the temp-to-hire model. Our sources say this is super common. It's basically like a long-term job interview.
It's the ultimate way to reduce risk in permanent hiring. The company gets to see that driver in action for weeks or even months. They can evaluate their reliability, their efficiency, their fit with the company culture, all before making that huge financial commitment of a permanent offer.
So after all this, what's the big takeaway? I mean, what does this all mean?
I think the essential point is that CDL temp agencies aren't just a backup plan. They're not just for emergencies anymore.
Right. They're foundational. Mm-hmm. They are a core part of a modern, flexible strategy in logistics. They don't just fill gaps. They bring stability and predictability to an industry that is defined by unpredictability.
Absolutely. And when carriers are choosing an agency, they're looking past the hourly rate. They're looking at performance metrics. What's your fill rate for last-minute jobs? How reliable are your drivers? And most importantly, how perfect is your compliance paperwork? That's what shows you're a real strategic partner.
Okay, here's a final provocative thought for you to chew on. The sources kept mentioning this hybrid approach. A core of permanent drivers for the stable routes combined with temporary staff for flexibility.
The best of both worlds.
Exactly. So, as automation starts to take over some of the more predictable long-haul routes, consider this.
Oh.
What if the future of labor, not just in trucking but everywhere, is this hybrid model? A blend of stable, core employees and a highly skilled, flexible workforce that can handle the unpredictable, complex tasks. That blend of stability and agility. This might just be the future of work itself. Something to think about.
A lot to think about.
Thanks for joining us for the Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.